for us.
As I confess, the first item on our agenda this afternoon under planning and zoning is approval of several resolutions that we had previously passed. And I would consider a motion to approve the following resolutions, number 19-100-369B for Daniel and Sharon Smitherman, number 19-100-370B, LR Communications and Chad Kuhn Conditional Permit, and number 19-100-371B, Freddie Boutour Conditional Use Permit.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. We'll give us a second. We'll sign these. Okay.
And Carrie and I had discussed on these resolutions and stuff, and I think this is how we'll be presenting them from now on. That way it brings up an opportunity if there's any questions or, you know, that you guys have that I can answer, we can reiterate, go over stuff. You know, it just gives an opportunity for it to be reviewed again, so.
Yeah, I thought we had it for the opportunity to have a resolution number assigned to it.
Yeah, well, there's plenty, but if there was just a question or something to come up. So.
Well, next time I'll ask them if they have any questions.
Well, you just knew they read them all. And
well, I knew we had approved them all.
That's right.
Yeah. But they need a formal motion because we did not have a resolution number.
Correct.
Did you want to talk about letting Dennis know to forward the agenda request item to you guys too? Because
yeah,
it's lost in the packet. And
you know how you used to forward the, you know, and then Carrie started doing it, but then we don't get, it gets lost in the packet, or we don't get it, it's too much information.
It makes the packet too big.
Too big. So if you could do it like you used to.
Email me the same time that I sent
Carrie. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I can do.
Okay.
Yep, no problem. All right. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
The first item that I have to bring to you is request for conditional use to allow for the rental of a property and use as an Airbnb or VRBO rental type of property. This four-bedroom house is located at 20 Old Brazil Ranch Road, and the owner wishes to rent this property out, but to use it as an Airbnb rental or the VRBO type rental. So it's a short-term type of rental. This property is located, of course, just south of town, Old Brazil. It is in the RR zoning district, and so in the RR zoning district for a guest house rental or something like that, we require that it be permitted through a conditional use. And so that is why I talked with the owner and we chose to go forward with it as a conditional use permit. this would allow him to rent this property out using the Airbnb services or the VRBO services. And the conditional use would be placed upon the property for that rental, but it would be tied to his ownership. So the one condition that we have on there is that the conditional use be allowed to the current owner of said property, which is Andrew Monowski. This conditional use shall not remain in place if the sale or transfer of the property happens. So if that is sold, then that conditional use would go away. The new owner, if they wish to use that property as that, would have to come back through the process. The other condition that was placed upon the property or on this conditional use is that we would receive a letter from the homeowners association with their approval for the rental of this property that way. There's another property within that subdivision that is rented this way. They do have stipulations in their covenants that allow for long-term type rentals, but not the short-term type rentals. So that is why we asked for that letter also. In speaking with the owner, he has spoken with the homeowner association, and they did not have a problem with this. I have not received the letter at this time, but I will, I'm sure, here shortly. So.
Dennis, wasn't there a letter, Mr. Chairman, that came from one of the neighbors that wasn't too excited about this?
Yes, there was.
But there was also one in support.
There was also one in support, and I've heard several, you know, in support of this. So.
Very good.
But those were the only two formal letters that I did have.
Okay.
The owner is not here today. He's working out of Casper, and his wife, and they live down in Evanston, so apparently nobody was able to make it today. So, but if there's any questions.
I have no questions.
I have.
Well, I'll wait and see if there's other questions, and I'm ready to make a motion.
If I'm not mistaken, it was a 5-0 vote with the planning and zoning, too.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And I did include that this time.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve this application pending receipt of the letter from the Homeowners Association.
Okay. I'll second that.
Discussion?
Well, bear with me for my ignorance, but Dennis, what does the Airbnb and the VRBO stand for? Because I don't know.
Airbnb is a rental company, and it started out with an air bed and breakfast type of situation. There was a couple that was renting out a room of their house, is how this company got started. What it is it's an internet-based driven rental site, and they arrange short-term rentals of houses and properties, and you can get on the internet site and say, yeah, I'm going to Pinedale, and it'll list all of their rental homes on Pinedale, in Pinedale or around the area, and you can book those homes through their site. So it's just like booking a hotel room or something online, but it's for houses and different properties. So if you took your whole family and wanted to come to Pinedale for rendezvous or whatever, you could get on there and look, and you could find a house instead of having.
Okay.
And the VRBO is the same similar site.
They probably get a cut out of it.
Yeah. So and they also handled contracts and all of the rules and regulations that go along with that property.
Dennis, one of these letters that is in opposition to this gives a reason that pertains to the CC&Rs about use restriction and residential use, stating that the resident be used for single family residence and no commercial enterprise operated on a lot. How do you address that?
The the commercial enterprise, they are renting it as a daily type of operation, but at the same time, the CCNRs allow for monthly type rentals. So you could rent, they also allow for the rental of that property, you know, by the month or whatever. It's not running, there's not a business. You know, somebody's not going there to receive a product or something. And so as a rental, I think it's more similar to the rental of a guest house or a long-term type of rental. With the short-term rental, that's also why we are asking for and requesting the approval from the homeowners association, which I have verbal approval. I just don't have a written approval.
Do we have multiple other situations like this in the county in Pinedale where we have B&Bs operating outside of a homeowner's agreement? Are they private, independent? Are there other areas that are doing this?
There's other homes that are rented like this. Some of those stipulations, they don't have a conditional use type of permit that they've come in and applied for. There's, once I got looking into it, there's several properties around. There's not that many that are within some of the subdivisions. And again, once it falls back to the subdivision CCNRs, that's their private, kind of their private deal. If, you know, as long as the homeowners association will show me that there's an approval from them, I don't regulate their CCNRs. So, and I don't know if I'm asking the question.
Yeah, partially. So we, I guess, do we have B&Bs that are operating without a conditional use permit?
Yes.
And why is that? Because they're not in a subdivision?
Either they're not in a subdivision, there's several that are within a subdivision and don't know that they need to come get a conditional use permit that I have found through my investigation.
So the question is, do they need to have a conditional use permit?
I think it makes this process more legitimate for that resident. So he's being upfront. He's letting the neighbors know. He's letting everybody know. He's coming in and saying, asking us or telling us, this is what I want to do. It's allowed as a conditional use within your zoning district. And so he's coming forward, and I think it makes it more legitimate.
Well, I do too, but I guess the concern I had is twofold. Number one, is that really some sort of violation of the CCRs under commercial use, because it's a daily rental might be a little bit more different involving another company than a monthly rental. And the other thing is, if, playing the devil's advocate, if other residences that operate B&Bs don't have to have a conditional use permit, why do these people?
Okay, right now this would be the second conditional use permit that I've permitted for this. The other one was on a agricultural zone property, which they come in and actually get the permit, but since it's the way the agricultural zoning is, it's an allowed use. So basically we just issue that permit. In the surrounding counties and such, Teton County is a very good example of this. They have a lot of these rental properties within subdivisions. They handle it real similar as a conditional use type of permit. There's some very well-to-do subdivisions that have rentals there. It's fairly new to the area, and I think everybody just needs to know that we do want to have a conditional use on those properties so that it's a known use within an area.
Well, I agree. I guess my concern is that if we're going to be requiring folks to have a conditional use permit to operate a B&B, then we ought to have some way of uniformly applying that throughout.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the regs. It's just, yeah, applying it. everybody known. I get lots of people to come in and tell me they didn't know they needed a building permit. So it's just getting it out there, everybody knowing that it is needed.
Okay. So bear with me.
Good.
So I've not got any of the information you guys are looking at, so I'm kind of winging it here, but
well, nobody has it.
Huh?
Nobody has it. It wasn't in our packet. That's why we started out.
Okay.
It didn't get forwarded in the packet.
Okay,
it was in the email packet.
Yeah, it was in, yeah.
So, obviously there's at least one letter in opposition or two. I don't know how many.
There's one letter in opposition.
One against.
Okay, so what does it require within a homeowners association? Obviously, it doesn't take 100% of the folks to say yay or nay. Just one? Or 10, or what percentage? I mean, if somebody's got concerns, does that mean the rest of the homeowners don't, or have the rest of the homeowners been? Have they been touched base with this situation?
I sent out mailings, and that's how everybody in that surrounding area found out. Mm-hmm. He approached the homeowners association itself, so there's a board, and the board agreed to allow him to do this. So their governing body allowed him to do this.
Okay, so to, you know, bear with me.
You're fine.
So if I own this home out there, and I've got a group from wherever, then I could say, I'm not going to be here for 2 months. You guys can come in and use my house. Do I need a conditional use for that? Because I'm allowing them to come in and use that house that I'm going to be out of for a couple of months.
Not necessarily, no. Are you going to rent it to them as like a long-term type of rental?
Well, I'm not renting them.
Or just let them use it?
Yeah. So
In our regs and stuff, we have the rental of a guest house in this zoning district is required to have a conditional use permit. So rental of a guest house, extra bedroom, you know, a small portion of that property. In our regs, we have that under as a to be used, that they need to come in and get a conditional use to do that. So it's more of a short-term rental or a monthly type of rental. In the CCNRs for Old Brazil Ranches, the rental of the whole property on a monthly type basis, they will accept that. They don't require anything additional. I brought this forward just through the conditional use permit because of the rental of a guest house or cabin type of thing. It is a short-term rental, and it made all of the residents in the surrounding neighborhood aware of what was going on with that property.
So you said it's four bedrooms?
Yes.
Does that theoretically mean you could have four different individuals or four different groups? Explain that to me.
It would be rented to, you could have, 8 to 10 people in that house. Generally, it's a group of people, a family, or a, you know, group of people that are traveling together that rent the whole property.
But it wouldn't be prohibitive if they rented half their house to one person and half the house to another because they were coming to some event here that, whether it's ski season or whatever. So in essence, they could rent out two rooms to one person, two rooms to another, or four rooms to four different individuals.
As far as the process on the rental, I'm not sure how Airbnb or those agencies do that. I think generally it's to one party, whether it be.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
And so it looks to me like, and it's however you cut it, it's still a commercial venture. If you've two different entities, this is what they do, is put these homes together all around. That's commercialism. Commercialism, is it not?
It could be seen that way, yes.
I thought this, some of the covenants restricted commercialism.
Okay. And if that's the case, that's why we've asked for the letter from the homeowners association accepting this. Again, the county does not enforce their private CCNRs. So through this and through this process, it would be allowed through the county regulations, as far as I can.
Was there, Mr. Chairman, was there this kind of discussion with the Planning and Zoning Board? Did
yes.
they? Okay.
Is it correct then to assume that if the covenants do not allow it, the letter from the homeowners association would point that out and
yes.
you wouldn't give the permit, right?
Correct.
So with that said, I move the previous question.
Okay, question's been called. I guess all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm not comfortable with it the way, because I read here it says no commercial enterprise shall be operated, so I'm going to have to vote no.
Okay, and that's the motion carries with the condition that the homeowners association approves of this with respect to the CCNRs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, the second item we have on the agenda is for the vacation and replat of the Kelson Minor Subdivision. So this is up in Bondurant. So right here's the main part of Bondurant, the fire hall and stuff is right here across the road. And this is the old, there, I just forgot the name of it.
Triangle F,
there we go. So this property right here. What they wish to do with this is to vacate the existing minor subdivision, as you see it right there, and reconfigure the minor subdivision. Basically, this front lot against 191 stays pretty much the same. These back two lots, this dividing line is, they now propose to skew this line just a little bit front to back, and then create the access to these two lots off of this northern northwesterly corner. It's still the family that owns all three lots of the subdivision. And they just wish to, you know, redivide that. Lot sizes and such are not going to change. Easements and access, it actually improves some of the access and gets rid of a couple of the extra easements that were in the middle. So, pretty straightforward.
So it's just orientation of that
just
lot line.
Just orientation of that lot line.
Okay. So Dennis, the access is going to be up there. Up there?
Yeah, right up here.
That's the only access to the whole thing.
That's the only access to these back two lots. The front access, of course, are right here along the highway.
Right.
This is a permitted access also with through YDOT.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
And Mr. Sherbel is here if there's any additional questions that I couldn't answer.
And planning and zoning approved it unanimously?
Unanimously, 5-0 vote.
Okay. So do we have a motion on this request?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the request.
A second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the request for vacation and replat of the Kelson Minor Subdivision. Any further discussion? If not, all signify in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Do I have to sign that now?
Yes. This is Maxine?
No.
Is that how you want me to spell it? Thank you. I finally got Doug's name spelled right.
Took you a while, eh?
And I kept trying to get a Vickery instead.
Are you ever going to get to the point you do this electronic? You don't have to store all this stuff?
Well, it's all done electronic now, yeah, except for your signatures.
So you take this and squeeze it down and put it on a zip drive to store it? Or do you keep this hard copy?
I just keep it all.
I scan it.
Well, they scan it.
Oh, you scan it.
In the county, they scan it, put it in, and I send it to the... I send it to the GIS people, map server people.
Okay.
And they put it on the map servers.
So yeah, you still have to store that thing somewhere?
We have it in the clerk's office.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Mylar, they still store it. Yeah.
They still keep it?
Yeah, they keep the original still, yeah. So I just didn't understand the question.
You have a big cabinet full of them.
You would have after all these years.
Everything else is just cute copies with that C official. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, the next agenda item that I have for you is a request for a variance to the minimum lot size standard. This is a request by 24 Real Estate LLC, which is Claire Fahler. This is down towards Muddy Speedway and next to Joel's place. Down next to the intersection there is a little old schoolhouse.
Emerson School.
And Joel could probably give us all kinds of stories. Who knows?
A few.
But so our minimum lot size that we require is a minimum 2 acres. What she would like to do is they went through and they fixed up the old schoolhouse and got everything painted and working right. What they have is it's fenced off so the cattle and stuff can't get to it. What they would like to do is to create a lot that encompasses the schoolhouse and gives parking access and stuff for the schoolhouse. And if that would all come into play, then she would like to donate that to one of the historical societies here. So with that, that's the intent and what would come about. I don't know if anybody else get to see the plaque.
Yeah, okay, that's...
That part of the old Zimbo Ranch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they started the school there, they took that property from Paul Zimbo. And then when they got done with the school, they just gave it all back. Schoolhouse, the outhouse, everything. Went back to Zimbo's. Yeah. And it was used as a bunkhouse and whatnot for years.
Yeah.
And then when Fahler's bought it, then they restored it as a schoolhouse and they want to give it to the Historical Society.
Huh? Well, that's
it's kind of
pretty
cool.
Good gesture.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of neat.
So, I will be, for right now, all they were going through doing was trying to get the variance for the minimum lot size. If we can go forward with this, then we'll do an actual subdivision for the piece of property. So
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
I'll second that.
Got a motion, a second. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much. All right, now we'll jump back up to that ranches. Okay, Scott Land.
So our fourth agenda item that's coming for you is the proposal for the Quok Minor Subdivision. This is a property that is located within the Hoback Ranches. It's a 19.5 acre property, and they wish to divide that property and create two parcels. Their intent right now with the property, since the fire, I could even switch it over. Since the fire and stuff, it burned out this backside of the hillside, which was always just big dark timber. It's got a nice little bench that sits right up in here. What they're wanting to do with this minor subdivision is create another building site here for a house. Then in the future they can sell one or the other, but their intent is to build a house right here. It's a real typical minor subdivision that we've done several times within the Hoback Ranches. We have had several owners, about three different owners, ask about the minimum lot size. All of Hoback Ranches is zoned RR10, which is a 10-acre type of minimum. There are multiple lots within the Hoback Ranches, most of them within this area, that are 9.5, 9.6, 9.7. There's two lots that are right here that are 8.3, 8.8. Most all of those smaller lots were created with the original plats or through, there's a couple different minor subdivisions. The rule that we have within the county and state statute is that if it's a short quarter-quarter, meaning that it doesn't have the full 80 acres in it, or quarter-quarter, 40-60s, that the minimum lot size can be like 9.5, 4.5, as long as it rounds up to that, because the whole section then is short section. There's not the full acreage.
You're talking about the correction lines.
Correction lines and stuff like that. Okay. So that is why the 9.5 odd acres are allowed as a RR10. That was one of the questions that was brought up. And the other questions that were brought up were the view shed question type of thing. You know, adjacent neighbor stating that they don't want to be able to see a new house. Again, it is the intent of the property owner to build down below the ridge line and stuff and not be up on top in the view of everybody else. They would also like their property to not be able to see everybody else. So, which, yeah, the county does not have any regulations on that. Other than that, I believe that it meets all of the standards, all the county standards, and the Planning Commission voted to pass this one 5-0 also.
Dennis, does not Hoback Ranches have a protective covenant that limits the size of lots to 10 acres?
I do not know. All of the Hoback Ranches is zoned RR10.
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about when Doyle Childs set that up way back when, and maybe I'm wrong, but it was my understanding that when he drew those protective covenants up, there was a restriction in there that all lots had to be 10 acres. Now, you're saying we have other lots in there that are less than 10 acres?
Oh, yes.
Within Hoback Ranches?
This was an original one. It's created on Sheet 6, Track 13. It's 9.68 acres.
Now, was it sold as 9.6?
Originally.
But it wasn't sold as 20 and then divided into, or sold as 18 and divided into that. It was sold as that.
Correct. 9.7. These are the two that, this was probably a double lot since it's north half, south half. But with this, these lots have been divided. There's a lot of lots down here where we've done the rest of these little minor subdivisions that are all, that's even the original, just under, you know, they're over 9.5 acres, which by our rules and regs and by statute, in these short sections, you round up, you are allowed to make a 9.5 plus acre lot and it be considered an 8 acre lot.
So if somebody had a 16 acre plot, could they divide it into 2 8 acre plots?
It would not fit with the RR10. So how these 2 8 acre ones got created, I'm not sure. I think they were created originally. These two that were right here.
And I would just say that the part that's getting subdivided was an allocated part. So it theoretically should be 20 acres, but then it was actually 19 and a half based off the measurements. But their intent was to set it at as a 20 acre parcel, but the actual area wasn't quite 20 acres.
Yeah, that's a better explanation than what I gave.
So the request is to split this in half or to have a 10 acre plus a 9 point whatever?
To split it in half.
Yep, 9.77 acres and 9.78 acres.
And so the Hoback Ranch is R10, you said. Mm-hmm. So at this stage of the game, why do we want to do something that the Hoback Ranch's covenants aren't? I guess that's my question. I mean, if there are R10, why are we going with 2 9-acre parcels? Why do we want to go with 2 9-acre parcels? Does that open up Pandora's box?
I fall back to there's or some of the original lots that were created in here are nine point some odd acre lots. There's multiple lots within the subdivision that are 9 point some odd acres. And with some of the previous minor subdivisions that we've done where we've split a lot, they've been 9 point, you know, some acres. So it has been done multiple times within the Hoback Ranches.
Okay, I don't know that I'm clear on this. And especially thinking about the previous issue we had with the Airbnb and getting approval from the Homeowners Association and so on. But I see Sam Sumrall in the audience out there. And Sam was with the Hoback Ranch Improvement District. And I would like, Sam, to give you the opportunity to give me your opinion on this.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. I was asked by several members of the community. I'm on the board of directors out there. And I was asked to be in attendance at this meeting for this specific reason. And I would go back to Mr. Doug's comment. I'm scared. I'm always scared based on the fire and the after results of that. We've been walking on eggshells out there for a year as a board. I'm scared we're going to open up Pandora's box if we approve this, and here's why. I'm new to the board. I've been in the community for 5 years out there, built a home out there to retire. And when I found this parcel, first thing I did was I secured a copy of the covenants. And went down through there and saw that it was an RR10. I purchased a lot. It's 9.78 acres. My next door neighbor on either side of me is 9.82 or 9.1, whatever the case may be. But I purchased that knowing that it was an RR10 and that I could not subdivide it subsequent to that, regardless of what my intent was. And intent's kind of a soft word. I can intend to build another home, but there's nothing in the world that would stop me down the road from selling that acreage. Now, I can tell you right now, out of 200 and some odd residents out there, if we allow this, then you're going to get flooded with the same kind of request, which destroys the intent of the subdivision to start with, because the subdivision was designed to give people the ability to build a home and not necessarily be in a position to hear their neighbor flush the toilet. I don't know where all these minor subdivisions came about, but if they've come about resulting in less than a 10-acre plot, then they've been in direct opposition to the covenants of the district. And the last thing I want as a member of the board, I'm on it for the next 2 years. And I've been told I'm supposed to be chairman next year. The last thing I want to do is be at odds with the county over whose rules apply. I mean, if y'all got a 2-acre minimum, then what's going to prevent me from subdividing mine into 4 acres and putting trailer houses on it? I just don't see it. If anybody bought a lot in Hoback Ranches and didn't consult the covenants, then that's on them. Y'all shouldn't bear that responsibility. And neither should we as a board, because we make them readily available. They're available online. They're available hard copy any way you want them. And, you know, the buyer should know what they're getting into. I don't see how, in keeping with the covenants, I don't see how you could grant this request and create two parcels that are less than 10 acres after the fact. That just, I don't see the logic there. And I think, again, as Mr. Vickery pointed out, you're just going to open up Pandora's box. If you come to me and say, well, we want the board to give us a letter of approval, you probably ain't going to get it. There's too much going on out there right now with regard to the fire, and with an upcoming grant this spring that we're going to have to deal with, and we're trying to keep a lid on a very big pot right now. So I've taken up your time, but that's just the way I feel.
All right, thanks, Sam. Any other comments, questions for Dennis?
I guess not, Mr. Chairman. I guess my thought is if the homeowners association is interpreting the 10 acres as a full 10 acres, then if we're going to be consistent, we probably should make our approval subject to the approval of the homeowners association, would be my thought.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask one more question. Dennis, because I don't know the statutes and the rule, but my understanding is, and I was made aware of this by one of the property owners that wrote you a letter, neighbor. My understanding is they want to build another home, a house that's going to become their home, and the existing property is going to become a guest house. So, I guess my question is, why would that even require a subdivision?
It would require a subdivision because the existing house is larger than 1,200 square feet, and they don't want to cut that house down so that it's under 1,200 square feet, which is a requirement for a guest house.
I just didn't know, asking out of curiosity. But, you know, again, even if I wasn't personally, and I don't even have a position on it from a personal standpoint, because I live way, way out of sight of this place, okay? I'm up on Skyline Drive. But there are neighbors that have expressed concern, and I can just tell you, knowing the pulse of what's going on out there, it's going to create havoc.
Would it be better if, rather than having a motion contingent upon approval, for them to go back and see if they can get approval and save us that?
Table it.
Yeah, I would agree to that. Yes.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think my concern is, and it solely because I don't understand, is that if you have many plots of land up there that are all 9.7, 9.5, well, they're going up to 10 acres. But the one, if it was 16, you're going to cut it in half and get 8. That's not 9.5. Everything, if they're in there, they're relatively really close to 10 acres, which these two are going to be.
Yes.
And most of Hoback Ranch is with aliquot parts, is that correct, Dennis?
That is correct.
So those, they were aliquot parts, so the intention was full 20s everywhere, or full 10s. Mm-hmm. But the way the subdivisions and conversions, everything, you're going to get 19.5s, 9.7s. And that's why, in this case, if this particular 40 was split in two and there was 20.01 acres, then it wouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. But it's just from that original survey breakdown, you end up with less than 20 acres originally.
Well, and this, compared to the previous situation that we considered with the CCRs on that other property that we already approved, you indicated to us at that time that, and we made a motion contingent upon that approval, but you had also indicated that you had a verbal approval from that homeowners association. I think in this situation being somewhat different without having that, I would be more comfortable if we table this to see if you could get the approval from the Hoback Ranch Improvement District. But then I can't make a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to table it pending a letter of approval from the Hoback Service and Improvement District.
Second.
Discussion, go ahead, Commissioner Victory.
So, the board of directors of the homeowners association over time is going to change. So, does that mean if this comes up 4 years from now, we're going to have another approval from whatever that existing board is? So, good, bad, or indifferent, I think we just, it's 10 acre minimum. I think that's the way we should make our stand right there, draw the line in the sand, if you would, down the road. That's what it is. People will know that. We're not dependent upon a new board coming in, and there will be new boards. They will be comprised of different folks. They're going to have different ideas. So, I didn't spit them. So, my recommendation is we take the bull by the horns. We stay with the 10-acre minimum. And go for it.
Can I answer this?
Yes.
With that, we do have in our rules and regulations that if it is an aliquot part and it's broke down, it is less than 40 acre parcel in there, that we have the round up to, you know, 10 acres, 9.5 is considered an RR 10 acre lot. That is on our books. That's how it has been. Previous to this one with the short-term rental thing with the CCNRs, that is something that I took that through as a conditional use, so it kind of becomes, how to put that, it is a conditional use. This breakdown of lands with the 9.5 acre minimum to make 10 acres is something that we have on the books. It's clearly written. It's also mm-hmm. written with state statute. Going back to some of the CCNRs, the counties are not required to enforce any of private CCNRs. It is the
homeowners associations that are required to enforce those CC&Rs. The reason I asked for the approval from the homeowners association on the rental agreement was because it was through a conditional use permit.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, any other comment? We do have a motion and a second, and unless there's a consideration to withdraw the motion, then I will call the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
So we will table this and have you get with the Hoback Ranch Improvement District and let's see what their recommendations are.
Okay, as in myself to do that or to for the have Rio Verde do that? It's their client. And
I guess Rio Verde.
Yeah, I guess we'll. Yeah. I know they talked to him, but I'm not sure how far it went.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know Mr. Summerall is one person on that board of directors. I think he speaks for a lot of people out there. I think it would be prudent to get their collective opinion on this.
Okay.
I would really like to know how many lots in the Hoback Ranches are 9.5 to 10. Just curious for my
or
own
less, or less than 10
or less than 10 yeah. Yes, yeah, you don't have, you just don't have that, huh, Dennis?
I can show you lots.
I'm sorry,
no, I don't
just that's why it's been tabled.
Okay,
we'll find that.
Okay,
yeah,
that sounds good. With that, gentlemen, I don't have anything further to bring to you. So,
I think if we were to do this whole thing over now, knowing what we do about fire, we'd have had a minimum of R20.
You left them as 40s.
Or 80s.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
So, next time we're going to get those, like.
Yes, I will. Super. When I email them to Carrie, I will email all of the packets to you, gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Okay. No, that's the last thing. I would rather have all of this in front of you so you can at least look through it.
Well,
so.
I like to look at it way before we come to the meeting. But the main thing I like is your little block that tells us what the board said.
That is critical.
Although
we didn't go by it.
And right. how to word everything.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I will make sure that that happens.
Sure.
Let's see. All right, Brian, would you like to come forward and continue the discussion on Hoback Ranches?
You mentioned you want to talk about Hoback Ranches.
I thought we were done, but evidently we're not.
No.
Yeah.
I should see Matt down there waiting for you.
Well, yeah, get these coats in.
He's ready to go.
What are you doing? I'm just cold.
He was just like on a handout.
Man.
Then we have one more item at least.
Yeah, I just
said I know one.
This shouldn't be too long. Thanks for my tip.
Chairman, commissioners, just wanted to kind of give you an update of where we're at on the Hoback Ranch's culvert.
This is
project
to do with the grant?
Yeah, for okay. The grant. And so I talked to Matt, just wanted to give you a quick update. We're not quite finished with our work, but it's due by the end of the month. And so I kind of wanted to give you guys a heads up of where we're at, what we've done, and just kind of make sure you're aware. So if you have any questions, we can adjust and get things finished up here by the end of the month when it's all due to turn into the state. So, excuse me, what you have before you is a couple quick maps, just kind of a brief overview of the project, and then we'll kind of work through and then obviously to the numbers at the end. But essentially what we did is, of course, inventoried all the roads in the subdivision that the Service and Improvement District takes care of, basically mapped and looked at all the locations that either need a culvert or have a culvert or need a culvert replaced, or there's one existing, and then we
you know, verified the hydraulic analysis and some of the previous work that Wood had done during their grant application, analyzed the hydraulics to make sure things checked out and, you know, visually checked, more importantly, what was on the ground and what, either to confirm or deny what Wood had done. And, you know, of course, they did their work when there was snow on the ground, so they couldn't see a lot. But in essence, that inventory on that map, all those little dots are either new culverts or replace existing culverts that that we identified that need done to provide the proper drainage, you know, given the runoff that they saw this past year and the runoff they're probably going to continue to see for a few years. So with that being said, we compiled a list. That third page in your packet is basically a list of all the culverts throughout those roads. We've got approximately 80 culverts that we've identified to install. And with that, I'll kind of basically put together a cost estimate on that end sheet that just to kind of see where we're at in terms of the budget. And right now, we're basically estimating that we will use the entire project budget up to install all those culverts and, you know, the associated work and erosion protection that goes with them. So that being said, we've kind of talked with the district to identify maybe some higher or lower priority culverts that if the project, you know, goes forward as planned and we're over budget a little with the amount of culverts we need to put in, then maybe some of the lower priority ones just don't get installed or don't get completed to essentially try to use the grant funds that are available. So I think that kind of gives you the rough overview of what we did, and would offer up any questions you have or answer.
What was the total amount of the grant?
So the grant total is that's the 567.
567?
Yes.
And you're estimating 580?
Yeah, give or take. We've got a little bit of contingency in there and obviously a few unknowns as we're finishing things up, but ballpark, that's kind of what.
So the 567 includes the engineering, right?
It does. It includes everything. Yeah.
How do you make a priority on which culverts you don't complete or cull from this list?
Well, talking with the district, some of them, maybe the flows in certain areas are not quite as bad as other areas, or it's not going to see as much water, or some of the roads aren't as heavily used, and maybe you can get by without a culvert and, you know, take the risk that it may not wash out, or you might not have as much road damage. And if you do have the road damage, it's not as, you know, not affecting as many people. Obviously, the roads like Rim Road and Fisherman Creek, some of those that are heavily used, they've seen some pretty rough damage, as you all know. And so those are the more higher priority areas, I guess, and some of those less traveled ones are a little less.
Mr. Chairman, have you been over this with Sam?
No. There's been extensive conversations with Dave Nimitz, chairman of the board, as far back as last spring. And okay. I don't know you, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't got a chance to meet you, Sam, but I did leave you the sheet there. Yeah. So.
But Dave made an extensive tour last spring with the firm and identified the problem areas and that, and then a great deal of work was done on a gratis basis, which I explained to y'all last time we were in.
Right.
Our understanding is that, and the way we have proceeded on this whole thing, is that the grant money, the work is to be done on public roads only. And the list was given to the firm, the private roads to stay away from. And again, to keep from opening Pandora's box, we don't want to put a culvert on a private road. Because if we do, Pandora's box is going to come flying open and there's not enough money to go around. So we got to make sure it's on public roads. Now, to answer the question, my suggestion would be, and I've already confirmed this with Mr. Nunes, who is rolling off the board, but because of his involvement, he has agreed to stay on as a consultant to us, the forward moving board, to work with the county and Jorgensen to make sure that the trouble spots are addressed in a priority system in a way that gets the biggest bang for the buck. And the reason I'm here again for this is to make y'all aware of the fact that Dave has offered his services and I live out there and I will be out there and we'll make sure that these guys have all the information they need moving forward.
And these are just public roads.
Yeah, these are the public roads and these are the list that Dave and I, like I said, we had several conversations to go over that list and what's here. So that's basically what you're seeing. And, you know, of course, this is an estimate at this point, but our guess is there's enough culverts, obviously, to use the bulk or vast majority of the grant.
So when would you anticipate that you could go out to bid?
Well, that's where we have to turn our report and packet in
right
to you guys for the state, and then when it goes out to bid, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't talked to the folks administering the grant from the state, and maybe, I don't know if Matt has, or maybe he could help answer.
So the process is we'll submit this study to State Homeland Security by December 31st, and then they go through the analysis and they determine if the full project should be funded. So I couldn't really give you a good estimation on when it would go out to bid until the folks in Cheyenne determine that this project is feasible and they're going to fund it and move forward.
The idea would be to get things done to where next summer they can do the project, I assume.
Yeah, and that's the intent. And part of our, Mr. Chairman, part of our report will include a work plan and recommendation of when to, you know, basically when to bid it, and then, of course, earlier in the year is maybe better, but to be able to do a site visit, you're probably looking at May or June for contractors, and then completion next summer and fall. And you know, too early in the year, it's a little wet and muddy and tough to get on some of those roads. Of course, it's we've estimated that I would say 8 to 12 weeks worth of work, maybe, to complete it all is probably realistic. So it should be doable. And,
yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
As part of the discussion, I'm not an engineer, but when I look at the culverts, I mean, what I believe is a lot of 18-inch culverts. In my experience, limited as it is, an 18-inch culvert, and especially one 30-foot long, has a tendency to constrict big time. And so if there's any place, in my opinion, it should be at least a 24. I think that should be taken into consideration. I guess as folks on the ground that know how that terrain drains and et cetera would have a better feel than I or an engineer perhaps, because 24 versus an 18, probably not a huge amount of money difference, but it's a huge difference in the capacity to carry water and to let more trash go through it.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, if I can, the carrying capacity or volume of the culverts is really not too big of an issue because a lot of the drainages are not very big. They don't have much in the way of drainage or culverts at all. And one of the issues we've run into is that because of the ditch on the uphill side in some places is so shallow, we're actually going to have to dig down and almost put a little inlet or, you know, almost like a sump on the upstream side because the ditch is not deep enough for the culvert. And so they've done that in a few places already. But I agree, it'd be nice to upsize as many as we can. And certainly look at that. That's just kind of what we were running into and want to make it bigger. The ditches are pretty small in some places.
Good point, Commissioner.
Really noted.
So this is an update for us, and you're basically not going to be forwarding this to Homeland Security and let them make a decision on the project, the amount, and the process going forward?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Yeah, and so like I was talking with Matt, our intent, ideally we'd like to have this in here before the 15th of the month. So it's into, obviously into people before the holidays, and
yeah.
You know, I didn't want to come to you on the 17th and say, here's what's done, and so we'll just want to make sure you saw it before then, so.
Okay. Any questions for Brian?
Nope.
Nope.
Thanks, Brian.
Nope. Thanks, Brian. Thank you guys
Brian.
For your time.
Okay. You bet.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Now, I believe we have run through our agenda. So without further ado, would we consider a motion for adjournment?
So moved, Mr. Yeah. Chairman.
Move second.
All in favor, move your feet.
Get the hell out of here.
I defied anybody to take that motion away from Mac.
Yeah.
He was
so
ready.
Moved. I'm
20
ready.
Minutes ago. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time, though. It's just 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's easy.
You got time for a day's work yet.
No.
It just seems long.
I'm thinking of something else.
I know what you're thinking of. I think I am, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
nice drink of scotch.
Some of it was
sleep good tonight. About a double jigger.
You want these back as well?
No, you can keep that.
For my reference.
Oh, shit.
Well, John,
well, I think that.
All right, Clayton, thanks.
The anticipation
between
now and Friday is going to kill him, so it comes out in the news.
It's an observation.
I don't
want to step on anybody's toes by any means.
And
my thought was somewhat echo what Dennis said in the regards of.
No.
Burden on proving it, burden on preventing a person to, or ensuring a person follow either a covenant or anything else in there. That essentially is the dominant estate is in charge of people